When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
I hate to talk about myself, babe. I would like to say a word or two. Don't believe that I was on the shelf, babe, before I met you. Lots of nifty dames were after me, babe. Some of them are nuts about me still. When you think that you're the gal that won me from the rest, gosh, I'll bet you get an awful thrill. You're mighty lucky, my little ducky, to get a guy like me. My life is Hades, evading ladies that ask me out to tea. Gloria Swanson's hot for me. Look at the stud she got for me. And Mary Pickford sent me a trick Ford and sent it FOB. Mae Murray phones me, you'd think she owns me at other girlies' flats. And both the gishes think I'm delicious. They really mean the cats. Beverly Bain fries steaks for me, and Gilda Gray just shakes for me. So little ducky, you're mighty lucky to get a guy like me.
Though I know how much you hate to brag, Sam,
it's true,
I am glad you speak the way you do.
Really?
I know all the beauties that you bag, Sam, and what you go through. But you know I do all right myself, Sam. I have made some charming fellows fall. If it hadn't happened that you brought the subject up, I'd have never mentioned it at all. But you're lucky to get a girl like me, dear. Just as lucky
ducky, like to get a guy like me.
Just as long,
my life is Hades,
as a ladies
that ask me out to tea.
For I Gloria
Swanson's hot for me. Look
than
at the stud she got for me. And Mary Pickford
and
sent me a trick Ford and sent it FOB.
I see the Prince of Wales.
Mae Murray phones me, you think she owns me at all the girlies' flats.
I'm the girl.
And both the gishes think I'm delicious.
Really,
they really mean the cats.
Charlie Chaplin, the
fries steaks for me. And Gilda Gray just shakes for me.
So little ducky, you're mighty lucky to get a girl like me.
And listeners, you're mighty lucky as well. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM Peconic Public Broadcasting. But today we're not emanating out of Southampton. We're in our New York City studios because we have for you, what would I say, the reigning musical couple of Broadway, Rebecca Luker and Danny Burstein. I couldn't be happier to have them in our studio because their music, both separately and together, has so invigorated the landscape of Broadway over the last several decades that they brought so much joy to listeners everywhere. So welcome, Rebecca and Danny.
Here. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
So I always ask people what their musical, what sort of things inspired them growing up from the musical landscape. But Rebecca, I gather you weren't so much from a musical theater family?
No, I was not. I was born in Birmingham, Alabama, and moved even further south to a small little town called Helena. And we were very much, family that went to church, and I sang in all the choirs at school, and I sang in all the church choirs, and basically the closest I got to musical theater was watching old movies. That was basically it.
And I gather the Sound of Music was one of those.
The Sound of Music was one of them.
So you got a chance. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment, but let's hear Julie Andrews sing one of the more baffling songs ever written by Richard Rodgers from the film of The Sound of Music.
What will this day be like? I wonder. What will my future be? I wonder. It could be so exciting to be out in the world, to be free. My heart should be wildly rejoicing. Oh, what's the matter with me? I've always longed for adventure, to do the things I've never did. Now here I'm pacing adventure, then why am I so scared? A captain with 7 children, what's so fearsome about that? Oh, I must stop these doubts, all these worries. If I don't, I just know I'll turn back. I must dream of the things I am seeking. I am seeking the courage I lack. The courage to serve them with reliance. Face my mistakes without defiance. Show them I'm worthy, and while I show them, show me. So let them bring on all their problems. I'll do better than my best. I have confidence they'll put me to the test, but I'll make them see I have confidence in me. Somehow I will impress them. I will be firm but kind, and all those children, heaven bless them, they will look up to me and mind me. With each step I am more certain everything will turn out fine. I have confidence the world can all be mine. They'll have to agree I have confidence in me. I have confidence in sunshine. I have confidence in rain. I have confidence that spring will come again. Besides which, you see, I have confidence in me. Strength doesn't lie in numbers. Strength doesn't lie in wealth. Strength lies in nights of peaceful slumbers. When you wake up, wake up! It tells me all I trust I leave my heart to. All I trust becomes my own. I have confidence in confidence alone. Oh, help. I have confidence in confidence alone. Besides which, you see, I have confidence in me.
So, Danny, on the other hand, your background seems to have been very musical.
I did not sing the Sound of Music.
But you came up with a wonder. I was so thrilled when you said the city center version of this song. So that must have entered your family library at some point.
It did. It was in my family's library. My parents had about 5 musical theater albums and a lot of classical music and some Miriam Makeba and stuff, a lot of folk music. But not really. We weren't a musical theater family either. Just those 5 albums. I think it was Oklahoma, My Fair Lady, this particular version of Finian's Rainbow, and a couple of others.
So tell us why you picked this one. It's Howie Morris, right?
It is Howard Morris, yeah. And I loved it because it's so playful. And I could sing it. It was in my range. Uh-huh. And that was important, too, as a kid growing up, you know, being able to sing along with your favorite songs from musicals. It just spoke to me, and it was fun. And I actually got to play it in college.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, it's such a great part. It's so some. I think the score, the Harburg Lane score, sums up a lot of what you bring to the musical theater yourself, which is a lot of joy and specificity and humor. So let's hear Howie Morris.
And those lyrics...
Sharon! Sharon, you are the only one, the only one. But you're not Sharon at all. You're Susan the Silent. Yet I feel the same frenzy for you. Is this what it's like to be mortal? Is every girl the only girl? I'm beginning to like it. Oh, my heart is beating wildly, and it's all because you're here. When I'm not near the girl I love the girl I'm near. Every femme that flutters by me is a flame that must be fanned. When I can't fondle the hand I'm fond of, I fondle the hand at hand. My heart's in a pickle, it's constantly fickle, and not to particle. I fear when I'm not near the girl I love the girl I'm near. What if they're tall or tender? What if they're small or slender? Long as they've got that gender, I surrender. Always I can't refuse 'em. Always my feet pursues 'em. Long as they've got a bosom, I woos 'em. Confessing a confession, and I hope I'm not verbose. When I'm not close to the kiss that I cling to, I cling to the kiss that's close. As I'm more and more a mortal, I am more and more a case. When I'm not facing the face that I fancy the face I face. For Sharon, I'm Karen, but Susan, I'm choosing. I'm faithful to whosen is here. When I'm not near the girl I love the girl.
And we love the two personalities we're near, Danny Burstein and Rebecca Luker. So, Rebecca, Secret Garden is a show that has sort of penetrated the consciousness of generation of people who are so sort of deeply attached to it. That must have been a tremendous experience.
It was absolutely, you know, life-changing for me. It was amazing to do a new musical and to do that beautiful role and that unbelievably gorgeous score. Yeah.
Great. Well, let's hear Come to My Garden from that show.
Yeah.
thoughts are new, where I'll find you, and I'll find you love me too. Lift me up to the middle, my garden, rest my arms, where I'll see.
So The Secret Garden, what a breakout performance for Rebecca Luker and a tremendous cast. Mm. And then, you know, there was this revival of Company that had another tremendous cast of people, not only Danny, but Jane Krakowski and Bob Westenberg and Patti Ben Peterson and Boyd Gaines and Vianne Cox, which is how I first met you, Danny.
That's right.
I think I had to... Did I have to run into the bathroom and drag her out of the bathroom or some benefit? Or did I make you go to the bathroom and drag her out of the bathroom? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
But
Oh, dear.
That was the first revival of the show, and it was such an exceptional evening. That was also your first musical break on Broadway, right?
It was, and I couldn't have been happier or prouder to be part of a production. It was 1995, and it was my second time working with Steve Sondheim, and I learned so much. It was an amazing cast filled with all my musical theater heroes. I felt like I was the only person I'd never heard of in the room.
That's funny.
And and it felt great. I was quiet and I tried to learn a lot.
Great. Well, here is Danny's number, Getting Married Today, with what for me was the Department of Weights and Measures performance of this particular number by Vianne Cox from the revival of Company.
Find my shoes anywhere.
Today is for Amy. Amy, I give you the rest of my life to cherish and to keep you, to honor you forever. Today is for Amy, my happily soon to be.
Amy, we're really getting married.
Pardon me, is everybody there? Because if everybody's there, I want to thank you all for coming to the wedding. I'd appreciate your going even more. I mean, you must have lots of better things to do, and not a word of it to Paul. Remember, Paul, you know the man I'm going to marry, but I'm not, because I wouldn't ruin anyone as wonderful as he is. But I thank you all for the gifts and the flowers. Thank you all. Now it's back to the showers. Don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today.
Find his good cufflinks.
On the dresser. Right next to my suicide note. Listen, everybody, look, I don't know what you're waiting for. A wedding, what's a wedding? It's a prehistoric ritual where everybody promises fidelity forever, which is maybe the most horrifying word I ever heard, and which is followed by a honeymoon where suddenly you'll realize he's saddled with a nut and want to kill me, which is shizzle. Listen, thanks a bunch, but I'm not getting married. Go have lunch, because I'm not getting married. You've been grand, but I'm not getting married. Don't just stand there, I'm not getting married. And don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today. Go, can't you go? Why is nobody listening? Goodbye, go and cry at another. you're quick for a kick, you could pick up a christening. But please, on my knees, there's a human life at stake. Listen, everybody, I'm afraid you didn't hear. Do you want to see a crazy lady fall apart in front of you? It isn't only Paul who may be ruining his life. You know, we'll both of us be losing our identities. I telephoned my analyst about it, and he said to see you Monday. But by Monday, I'll be floating in the Hudson with the other garbage. I'm not well, so I'm not getting married. You've been swell, but I'm not getting married. Clear the hall, because I'm not getting married. Thank you all, but I'm not getting married. And don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today. Watch me die like Eliza on the ice. But perhaps I'll collapse in the abs right before you all. So take back the cake, burn the shoes, and boil the rice. Look, I didn't want to have to tell you, but I may be coming down with hepatitis, and I think I'm going to faint. So if you want to see me faint, I'll do it happily. But wouldn't it be funnier to go and watch a funeral? So thank you for the 27 dinner plates and 37 butter knives and 47 paperweights and 57 can holders. I am not getting married, but I'm not getting married
with this ring.
Still, I'm not getting married. See, I'm not getting married. Let's pray that we're not getting married today.
From the 95 revival of Company.
Amazing.
So roughly, I guess, around the same time, Rebecca, we always talk about Showboat on our program as obviously the granddaddy of all great musicals. But I think it really wasn't until the Hal Prince version that people got to see what it was capable of doing and how deeply it could touch people. So what was that experience like for you?
Oh, my goodness. To be a part of that beautiful show. We started up in Toronto. We were there for a year before we came to Broadway, around 95 also. And it was, I just was so honored to be the Magnolia in it. You know, I felt just completely honored and humbled. I do think it was a great production. I do think it broke some barriers. And Susan Stroman and Hal Prince did a beautiful job. Doing that, it was amazing. Yeah.
And here for me are two emotional highlights. We think a lot about Bill in the second act, but for me, what happens to Magnolia in the second act and the scene with her father at the Trocadero is probably the most moving part of the show. So we'll hear two cuts from that revival of Showboat.
Fish gotta swim and birds gotta fly. I gotta love one man till I die. Can't help loving that man of mine. Tell me he's lazy, tell me he's slow, tell me I'm crazy. Help loving that man of mine. When he goes away, that's a rainy day. And when he comes back, that day. Shine.
Everyone in the Trocadero should sing that.
Absolutely. Everyone in the subway should sing that.
They should. So, Danny, I think among the, we say coterie, if you were to come up with 10 groundbreaking performances, your performance in Drowsy Chaperone was so unique and so theatrical and so thrilling. That, and you said earlier you were the only person in the show you never heard of in company, but after this, everybody heard of you. What was that? What was that character, and what was that process like?
That was a process of complete play and fun. The writers were out of Second City in Toronto, and just were smart enough to build the show around the strengths of the people in the show, and so they just said, "All right, here, these are the lines for now. Let's play and see what we come up with." And we kept tightening and tightening. And I saw that, for instance, I had the word "what." And I saw that I had it all peppered throughout the show. So I started to play thinking, oh, I should say that the same way every time. I think it would kind of be a funny thing. And I'd go home and, you know, and go, what? You know, and finally I found one that was "what." And my kids... thought I was crazy, of course, at home. But the people in the show started to imitate it when I would do it. And I thought, oh, maybe I'm onto something with this "what?" And I started throwing my hands up in the air when I did it, and it just became a thing. And that's what the process was like, just playing and having fun and seeing how silly and wonderful you could be in every moment.
What a great show.
And if there was ever a literal signature number, it's "I Am Adolfo" from The Drowsy Chaperone.
I'm sure that you have heard the name Adolfo, a ladies man who wins acclaim, Adolfo. Well, lovely miss, I am the same Adolfo. I introduce myself, I am Adolfo.
Nice to meet you, shall we?
Not so fast, so just in case you didn't hear, Adolfo, I'll try to make it very clear, Adolfo. The lovely ladies always cheer, Adolfo, when I repeat myself, I am Adolfo.
Understood.
I can sing it high, Adolfo. I can sing it low, Adolfo. I can sing it very fast, Adolfo. I can sing it very slowly. I do it now, but it would take hours. Now let us see if you can remember my name.
I'll give it a shot.
Now who's the fellow that you see?
Adolfo.
And how should you refer to me?
Adolfo.
And who is it I'll always be?
Adolfo.
Now sing it proudly.
You are Adolfo.
Now let me spell it out for Joe. For all you lovely ladies that didn't hear for some reason, because maybe you are hard of hearing or something. It goes Adolfo.
Milk and not a drop is wasted. Give me direction straight into the hurricane. Shake me up and take me to the heart of all the joy and all the pain. Put me to bed, I'm tattered up and
buggy on the road, I'm born to bump on. I'm all right, or maybe I'm all wrong, but I'm taking this ride and anyone can jump on.
When the trail gets stale, the same old you, just turn the corner and it's all brand new. Madrid, I love you, my big mama. Give me a little titty, cause I'm hungry every minute. Technicolor widescreen Cinerama. Life is a movie, and oh God, I'm glad I'm in there. Every bump of the road, every stop, every start, you can feel her heart, you can feel her heart, you can feel her heart. Bada boom, bada boom, bada boom, bada boom, bada boom, bada boom. Mama, 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 mama.
So, from the pastiche beats of the 1930s to the hip sound of David Yazbek, Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. So this was your second, third collaboration with Bart Scheer?
That was my second. I followed that with Golden Boy, and then most recently Fiddler on the Roof.
Right. So that's obviously a very good working relationship.
I love Bart. Yeah, we work very well together. We have a shorthand, and we trust each other, and we try and find the truth in every moment, and I can't imagine a better working relationship.
Great. Well, I think both of you tend to honor the traditions of the past and yet sort of push the envelope a little bit and still respect where these shows are coming from.
Exactly.
Yeah, well said.
Nicely done. So we're here in our studio today in New York for Broadway to Main Street. I'm your host, Larry Maslon, and we're approaching Pledge Week tomorrow. So if you're listening to this, you must realize that only on Broadway to Main Street could you get two such fabulous performers and the kind of in-depth look at their vast repertoire of work that you get on Broadway to Main Street. So you'll also hear from us next week. We have a big announcement to make in terms of the ongoing support of our show. But one thing we try to bring you every week is something good from the Broadway canon. And Rebecca, you got to be in The Sound of Music, which are pretty big lederhosen to fill in terms of that. And so
exactly.
what was that like, and what's it like to take on an iconic role like Maria in The Sound of Music?
Yes, I've taken on several of those in my career. And I always, you know, people ask me this question all the time. What do you, is it intimidating or is it, you know? And I just, generally how I approach them all is, you know, sometimes I steal from them because you steal from the best. But I also tried to make it my own and just try to be truthful and bring myself to the roles, and that's all you can do. But it's a lovely role, you know. Danny said it best when I was working on it years ago. He said, you know, Maria is delightfully flawed. And so I tried to do that. You know, she's a flawed character. That makes her interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Those leading lady things are hard to do. You know, they're really hard. But I had a wonderful time doing it, and my leading man, Michael Saberi, was so lovely, and we became very good friends, and it was just a great experience all around.
And we joshed a little at Richard Rodgers, one of his two attempts for the movie, but the second one I think is one of the greatest things he ever wrote, and so you would have been the first performer with Michael to sing that on Broadway, which is something good.
Oh, that's right, and my favorite part, of course, was coming out and doing the twirl into the hills are alive. You know, come on, that was awesome.
Can't beat that. Here's something good.
Maria, in this uncertain world, none of us knows what might happen from one day to the next. A man can't promise anything except his love. And I promise you that.
Perhaps I had a wicked childhood. Perhaps I had a miserable youth. But somewhere in my wicked, miserable past, there must have been a moment of truth. For here you are standing there loving me. Whether or not you should. So somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. So somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good.
For here you are standing.
From nothing, nothing ever could. So somewhere in my youth
or childhood,
I must have done something. Something good.
Maria, is there someone I should go to ask permission to marry you?
Why don't we ask the children?
Hello, folks. We're into the follies. First, though, folks, we'll pause for a mo. No, no, folks, you'll still get your jollies. It's just I got a problem that I think you should know. See, I've been very perturbed of late, very upset, very betwixt and between. The things that I want, I don't seem to get. The things that I get, you know what I mean. You love me, oh you do, I'll see you later, blues. That long as you ignore me, you're the only thing that matters, feeling. That if I'm good enough for you, you're not good enough. And thank you for the present, but what's wrong with it, stuff? Those don't come any closer, cause you know how much I love you. Feelings. Those tell me that you love me. Oh, you did. I gotta run now. Blues. Margie. She says she really loves me.
I love you.
She says she really cares.
I care.
She says that I'm her hero.
My hero.
She says I'm perfect, she swears.
You're perfect, goddammit.
She says that if we parted.
If we parted.
She says that she'd be sick. She says she's mine forever. She says, I gotta get out of here quick. Those whisper how I'm better than I think, but what do you know, blues? That why do you keep telling me I stink when I adore you, feeling? That say I'm all the world to you, you're out of your mind. I know there's someone else and I could kiss your behind. Those you say I'm terrific, but your taste was always rotten, feelings. Those go away, I need you. Come to me, I'll kill you. Darling, I'll do anything to keep you with me till you tell me that you love me. Oh, you did. Now beat it, will you? Blues. Sally? Sally. She says she loves another.
Another.
She says a fella she prefers.
First.
She says that he's her idol.
She says,
ideal, she avers.
You deal,
She says that anybody.
Buddy Blair!
She says, would suit her more than I. She says that I'm a washout.
A washout!
She says, I love her so much I could die.
Get out of here!
As you ignore me, you're the only thing that matters. Feeling. God, if I'm good enough for you, you're not good enough.
Ooh.
And thank you for the present, but what's wrong with it, stuff?
Ooh.
Those don't come any closer, cause you know how much I love you. Feeling. Those, if you will, then I can't. If you don't, then I gotta give it to me. I don't want it. If you won't, I gotta have it. High, low, wrong, right, yes, no, black, white.
God, why don't you love me?
Oh, you do, I'll see you later.
So, Danny, you started your Sondheim canon with this most charming, open Jewish husband-to-be from Company, and then got Tony nominated for, what would I say, the other side of that romantic equation completely.
Yeah, he's angst-ridden, no doubt about it. And, boy, I sing hard songs.
You do.
Damn hard. Madrid before that and also this one. Hard.
How do you do it?
You know what? It takes a lot of rehearsal in the shower. That's how you do it, just memorizing lines. I swear to God, that's where I sort of, when you're in the shower, you just have nothing else on your mind and your lyrics just come to the forefront and you're relaxed and
place.
They just come pouring out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was a tremendous performance.
Thank you.
We started the hour
with...
It was better in the shower. But look, think how much you'd have to charge people, right? We started the hour with the most sort of innocent, benign, gentle Gershwin tune from early part of the 20th century. And you two, Danny and Rebecca, do this kind of work with such skill and such appreciation of the traditions. And yet, as I said, I think you move the envelope with your skill as actors. I was thinking, Danny, this morning when I was in the shower, that I remember that, of course, that Jack Gilford and Sarah Mostel were great pals.
Yeah.
And you're the only actor I know who could play signature roles in both their canons, which was Herr Schultz in Cabaret, and of course this revival of Fiddler. So we'll sort of get to the end of our hour with, I would say, the more deeply dramatic and heartrending aspects of your performances. I love this song. To this day, I'm tortured that it was not on the original cast album. But your album was nominated for a Grammy. And it's one of the emotional climaxes of the show. So why don't you tell us a little about your approach to that.
I love the song. So many people at the stage door asked me if it was a new song for the show.
Wow.
And, you know, of course it wasn't. And it's just such an emotional highlight of the show. And it's heartbreaking. It was hard to sing some nights. Mm-hmm. I could barely get through it. Because being a father myself, having two sons, the idea of not being able to see one of your children again, it's just, you know, you might as well cut off your arms. It's that heartbreaking.
Wow.
And then it's musicalized so perfectly, and the lyric sits in the music so beautifully. It's perfect. It really is. It's
so
the whole show is a masterpiece. It's musical theater mother's milk for those of us who
love
musicals.
It's so great that by recording this, you were able to reclaim it as part of the canon and the tapestry of that show. I brought my 9-year-old son to see the production,
and
he scooted up on his booster seat just as the lights are coming down. He said, "Dad," "Yes, Miles." "Is this a Jewish thing?" And I said, the Jewish thing.
Is it?
So here is Danny Burstein's wonderful rendition of Chava from Fiddler on the Roof.
Chava is dead to us. We will forget her. Go home, Gold. Little bird, little Havelich, I don't understand what's happening today. Everything is all a blur. All I can see is a happy child, the sweet little bird you were, Havelich, Havelich. Little bird, little Havelich, you were always such a pretty little thing, everybody's favorite child. Gentle and kind and affectionate, what a sweet little bird you were, Havelich, Havelich.
You to accept us.
Accept them? How can I accept them? Can I deny everything I believe in? On the other hand, can I deny my own child? On the other hand, how can I turn my back on my faith, my people. If I try to bend that far, I will break. On the other hand, there is no other hand. No, Chava. No. No!
Papa.
No!
Great moment, Danny Burstein, from one of our great musicals. Now, Rebecca, I don't know where Jerome Kern is right now. I suspect he's telling every little star up in heaven that he found one of the perfect voices for his music in you.
Oh, my goodness.
So you've devoted a lot of time in the last few years to some solo albums and stuff that's devoted specifically to Kern. Can you tell us a little about your connection to his work?
Well, from the beginning of my career, really, I've been doing Jerome Kern with John McGlynn mostly and other conductors. I was very lucky to start out doing his I'm crying right now because of that last song. I've always had a place in my heart for Jerome Kern. I can't explain it. I feel like I should sing his songs. That's all I can say. You know?
Yeah, well, ever since we got together, ever since we met, you'd always wanted to do a Jerome Kern album.
Yeah, and I literally was home one night by myself just bored, and I got out a big pad and paper and a pen and started writing down this album that I wanted to do. And I just started writing the patter and the whole thing, and I wanted to make it into a show that I did do at 54 Below. And then by doing that show, which Danny directed and Joe Thalkin musical directed, it got a lot of attention, you know.
Well, you're old-fashioned, but you don't mind it.
That's right.
I have the privilege today of having on our show Danny Burstein and Rebecca Luker, a great Broadway couple who are old-fashioned in the best sense of the word and keep bringing their talents forward. And I have to tell you, Rebecca is honestly moved in our studio.
I know, I am.
But if you want to be moved in the listening audience, this rendition of a song from Sweet Adeline, written for Helen Morgan, is, in my opinion, the best version ever recorded.
Oh, thank you so much.
So thank you both for being in our studio.
It's great to be here, Larry.
It's nice of you. It's lovely to talk to you today.
Spending these lonesome evenings with nothing to do but to live in dreams that I make up all by myself, dreaming that you're beside me. I picture the prettiest stories only to wake up all by myself. What is the good of me by myself? Why do I want a thing I
is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3:00.